Welcome to Pet Safety Crusader Radio and our kickoff to summer episode. I'm speeding your way as quick as a greyhound, chatting more than a chihuahua, leaping through obstacles like a border collie, and today, coughing and snorting like a pug. But I'm barking out loud my better pet parenting messages. I am Denise Fleck, the Pet Safety Crusader, and I'm delighted to make a difference in the life of an animal. Today, we're going to talk to Deborah Wolf, host of my sister show, and learn about Smart Animal Talk Radio. We'll also talk to Terry Kay, who translated her own dog's first book, Dog Only Knows, a relationship guide for dogs and their people. And we'll also hear from Lindsay Wolkel, founder of the Center for Pet Safety. So no matter how much you already rock at taking care of your furry family members, you know, there's always more we can learn. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing what you're doing, but stay tuned to this episode of Pet Safety Crusader to learn how to be the person your dog or cat knows you can be. Also, pick up that phone and give us a call with any questions you have on the topics of discussion today. Call-ins are always welcome toll-free, 888-627-6008. And if there's something you'd like the Pet Safety Crusader to bring to another episode, just email me at petsafetycrusader@gmail.com. Now I'm pleased to introduce Deborah Wolf. Deborah understands why animals do what they do and can help pet lovers, and maybe those that don't love them quite so much, enjoy good pet manners. Deborah trains cats, breeds, trains and boards dogs at Camp Good Dog. She shares her farm with five dogs, many doodle and poodle puppies, which we're going to be hearing a bit more about, cats, goats, chickens, bunnies, and it looks like some human kids as well. So, Deborah, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Nice to be on your show, Denise.
I'm delighted to have you here. So tell us first a little bit about Smart Animal Talk. How long have you been doing it, and what do you chat about?
Smart Animal Talk. Well, the name is pretty new, a year or so, but I've been with All Paws Pet Talk Radio for quite a long time now, maybe 7-8 years. I have a few radio shows going on, and I've been doing radio for 20 years. I've won Best Pet Radio in America 3 times, and I judge contests like the Best Pet Radio in America contest now for the Dog Writers Association of America. I'm also a judge for the cat writers because I like cats too. But radio is a great way to reach people with a message like your pet safety message. It's a great way for people to easily access information and just find out what's new in the pet world. So it's really great to have you in the pet radio world, Denise. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. And you're so right, because we can really give the latest news, like we were chatting on your show about the the floods in Texas. And then we hear other horrible news like I believe it was the Cincinnati Zoo. So we can always be current in radio and talk about these things. And speaking of current things, you have new furry paws at home, correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just got paid my stud fee, which is such a weird thing that you get paid with a puppy, with this beautiful, adorable, gorgeous thing that you just want to keep forever. But of course, you have to sell it. So I have a standard poodle puppy for sale. He's 2 months old. He's lovely. And then he's the son of my dog and my granddad and papa live here. And so it's you can meet them and meet him, and it's the way you want to go. If you are getting a bred dog, you want to be able to meet parents. You want to be able to actually experience the animals that are grown up and see that they're well-adjusted, healthy, well-taken care of, friendly, social. You never want to get a breeder where you're only allowed to meet the pup or only allowed to meet a distant relative or not allowed to go to the site. These should just tip off warning bells. If you're getting a puppy from another place, that's something you really can't be sure of. You can't regulate, so it's tricky. If you don't want to go there, maybe you should look closer to where you live. So there's a lot of tricks to good breeding. And, the most lucrative ways of breeding, the way you make the most money, is not the nicest ways. And there's lots and lots of places doing it, large scale, interbreeding, not taking care of the animals, breeding too much, breeding too young, too old, continuing to breed these dogs, overbreeding the dogs. And you just don't want that. You just don't want to support it in any way by buying a pet online, by buying a pet at a pet store, by buying a pet on scene. you might be. So I'd suggest you meet the puppy. That's really key. And if you can, meet the parents, meet the mama dog, meet the papa dog, meet some other dogs, meet the people, see how they keep things.
Yeah, I'm just so glad you went into that, because I do come from more of the rescue world, but I do have a lot of good breeder friends. And I think we've discussed before, I teach a high school animal care class. And that's one of the things I always talk about so that people don't get it clustered in their mind. There's the difference between the backyard breeders and the responsible breeders, the breeders who really know their breed and breed for the health and the continuation of good, healthy, you know, dogs. And that will let you know the history and all. So that's
And this term backyard breed, I mean, it's not about being in your backyard or not being in your backyard. That's kind So you get these terms that don't really fit. And then is it registered or not registered? And what difference does that make? Is that necessarily a guarantee it's well treated? No, it isn't. So you really need to go there. Look for yourself. And that's what I say about boarding kennels, too. I live and work at Camp Good Dog. 5 acres of farmland, all fenced for the dogs, with a big pond and loads of room to play. Every customer who comes here, ideally, comes here first to check it out. We want them to see. We want them to bring their dog. So any place that's being secret or private is probably not somewhere you should call twice. That would be my tip on that. Now, you asked me about my show. My show is Smart Animal Talk. I have guests every week, and we take callers, and we deal with the news like that gorilla incident and the tigers in the monastery in Thailand, and good news, too. And lots of training problems, dogs and cats. And that's every week on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, right here.
Awesome. Well, and you brought up an interesting point in that, you know, good news and not so good news. And I think it's important as animal lovers that we do hear about the bad, because I hear a lot of people try to shield themselves from the bad stories. But if we don't know, you know, the travesties that are being done to animals, then we don't fix them. We don't react. So I think it's important we have that balance. We need those happy stories to keep us going, but we do need to hear the not so happy ones to motivate us to make a difference.
There's so much power nowadays in the internet harnessed properly for a cause that, you know, if a cause gets some light, gets some notice, something like these dead tigers in the monastery, in this case, it's probably going to turn out that it wasn't inappropriate, that they weren't profiting, because otherwise they would have sold those tigers. But it's too early to tell. But something like that, something like the gorilla at the Cincinnati Zoo, the public is going to have a lot of power to make change for the future. So, but they don't have the power if they don't know.
No, and there's no really brushing things under the rug anymore, like you said, with the internet. You know, it's out there. We just have to make sure we sift through and we get the correct facts before we react. But the information's out there, and we can make a difference if we stay tuned and speak up, because we need to be advocates for those who can't speak for themselves.
And radio does allow me to choose my guests. So when there's a lot of clutter out there, when there's a lot of garbage out there, when there's trainers recommending shock collars and pain devices and all that, I want to have a different voice. I want to tell people, you don't need all that. Use your common sense. You see seeing eye dogs, hearing dogs, dogs who work, police dogs. These dogs aren't trained with pain, because they need precise, exact, perfect results, and they can't have fearful dogs. So if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for you. You don't need to train your dog with pain. You can get 100% results like a seeing eye dog, perfect, without pain. In fact, pain makes your results seem better in the short term, but long term, your dog won't disobey a command to protect you from a bear if you've pain trained him. But he sure will if you've trained him with trust and love, because bottom line, he'll protect you. And that's what I want.
I love that. Animals are unconditional love, and the more we give back, the more we get in return. Deborah, it was a delight having you on my show. We'll do it again sometime. Go go hug those puppies, give some belly rubs.
Well, I got to give Mama the lunch she deserves. Thank you very much. It's lovely being here. Good luck, Denise.
Thanks so much. So let's take a quick break, and when we return, let's sit, stay, and get ready to learn.
Let's go for a ride in the car.
You love your pet. When you use holistic medicine, their healthcare options expand. The American Holistic Veterinary Medical Foundation funds vital holistic research for your pet and your vet. Help us find these answers. Donate now. Go to helphealanimals.org. Donate for holistic research. Your pet will thank you, unless it's a cat. They expect you to do the right thing. Helphealanimals.org.
I am the Pet Safety Crusader, and although I have taught more than 10,000 humans animal life-saving skills, I know there are so many more dogs and cats who could benefit from their people learning better pet parenting. That's why I travel far and wide teaching you to keep your pets safe and help them live longer, happier, healthier lives. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing what you're doing. But join me Thursdays at 1 p.m. on BBS Radio for each episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to learn, share, and become the bow, wow, wonderful person your pet knows you can be.
So it was awesome having Deborah Wolf of Smart Animal Talk Radio with me today. Please tune in to her if it's on BBS Radio you're listening to. She precedes Pet Safety Crusader on Thursdays. I do apologize. I'm in day 12 of a viral bronchitis, but I'm going to do my doggone best to help you help your pets in as clear of a fashion as I can today. And I'd really like to send out good vibes to all of our friends in Texas. Boy, I hope all of you have been heeding my pet disaster preparedness tips over the last month. They can really come in handy because if you've failed a plan, you plan to fail. And we need to have, you know, procedures as well as supplies in place for our pets, but also for us, because we can't help them if we're not well taken care of. Now, today is our kickoff to summer. Memorial Day weekend kind of starts that whole hot weather season, even though it's not officially summer for another 3 weeks. But with summer out there, there are all sorts of canine chaos and feline foibles to be on the lookout for. So my biggest tip of all to you is to supervise your pets. When we have a dog or cat, we have a furry toddler for life, and they need our watchful eye at all times to make sure they don't get into danger. As we start firing up that barbecue grill, obviously number one right there with the lighter fluid and the flames, we have something that can be highly dangerous, if not deadly, to our pets. So don't turn your back and walk away with the burger on the grill, because Fido is going to be curious. And remember, their noses are so intense, they're going to find a way to that meal and get hurt in the process. Also, when we do barbecues or cookouts or picnics of any type, in addition to the meats and vegetables being cooked over the flame, we may have a bucket of chicken or salads with mayonnaise and different kinds of foods out there. Please keep your dog and cat on their regular diet. Sure, I'm never going to begrudge anybody slipping a little bit of white meat chicken under the table to their dog or their kitty cat, but watch out for fried foods. Their bodies do not tolerate them, and if at best, you're going to end up with digestive upset. Worst case scenarios, you're going to end up with pancreatitis. And we don't even need to know what pancreatitis is. We all know the pancreas is an organ. It deals with insulin and digestion, but we know that the itis means it's inflamed. So anytime we have a major organ that has been inflamed, we have bad news for our pets. So keep them on their regular diet. Give them only small bits of things that seem healthy. Fruits and vegetables can be great, but for the most part, for them to get nutritive value out of them, vegetables need to be either steamed lightly or chopped very fine, and they shouldn't be slopped with oils and mayonnaises and butters. Give them in their raw form, and our pets will wag happily. Also, be careful of ice cream. There are special ice creams out there for our pets that they love. But a lot of dogs and cats, once they're adults, become lactose intolerant and actually get gastrointestinal problems. They may vomit, or they may get the runs, to put it nicely, if they get milk. So, you know, it depends on your pet, but know your pet and know what's good for him. One thing I love to do is just get simple non-fat, non-flavored yogurt and mix it half and half with peanut butter. But read that peanut butter label. You want to make sure there is nothing on the label that says either sugar alcohols or xylitol, which can be deadly to Fido. It will actually drop his glucose level. So if you get a more natural peanut butter, you're in good shape. Mix that yogurt and that peanut butter together. You can even put in a little mashed banana if you'd like, and freeze it in ice cube trays or any kind of little special shape forms that you have, and give those to your pets. They're yummy, they're nutritious, and they're cooling in this hotter time of year. Something else going on with the warmth of the season are insects. So there are a lot of homeopathic preventives out there. If you want, email the Pet Safety Crusader at Gmail for my personal faves, but talk to your veterinarian. I know most often you're going to hear about ones in more chemical in nature, and I really prefer if you can use homeopathic ones. But the important thing is that your pets stay parasite free, because if they do get these parasites, they start to itch and scratch. Ticks can give Rocky Mountain spotted fever, Lyme disease, ehrlichiosis, and they also get just flea scratching and itching, and it turns into hot spots. So very, very important. Go over your pets with a flea comb. Even if you don't see fleas jumping, when you get some of that flea dirt at the base of the tail, what I like to do is what I call the paper towel test. Put some of that dirt on a damp paper towel, and if the paper towel starts to turn a little pink, that means that's dried up blood from your pet. So even if you're not seeing fleas jumping, they were there at one point in time, and you need to keep a lookout and, get some preventive measures going, and probably even some soothing skin ointments or sprays for your pet. If it just sits there on the paper towel, then, they're probably rolled in dirt. But that's just a good thing to know, the paper towel test. With the heat being on, keep your pets well hydrated. Don't wait till they get too hot to start getting the water in them. Keep that water going from the get-go and make sure there's plenty of it. You never want them to tank up at the end of a hike where they'll actually suck up a lot of air and could bloat their tummies. So little bits of water all day long is great. And one thing I like to do in the freezer is mix up a batch of 4 cups water, a teaspoon salt, and a teaspoon sugar, and pour that into ice cube trays. You can then pop them out when frozen, put them in a Ziploc bag, and keep that in your freezer. And that's basically, electrolytes that you can add to your dog's water bowl throughout the day, just to give him some of the sugars and salts he needs on those days that are super hot. But we're definitely going to cover lots more summertime tips, because we have the whole summer ahead of us. But I gave you 2 recipes there today for the electrolytes and for those wonderful little ice creams for your dog. And I just want you to keep him cool. Remember, if the ground is too hot for you to walk on it barefoot, it's too hot for your dog or cat's paws. And if you're actually seeing your dog or cat leave paw prints and they haven't been walking in water, that means they're sweating and that they are too hot. Unlike us, dogs and cats don't have sweat glands all over their body. They have an evaporative cooling system going on called panting, where they try to bring in the cooler air over their tongue to cool off their body and their lungs. And the way they release heat is through the pads of their feet. So if you're actually seeing damp little paw prints anywhere, you know it's time to get them into a cooler environment and keep them well hydrated. Don't touch that dial, phone line, internet connection. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this quick break.
Hey, cat lovers, listen up. Goo fur is the only way and the best way to medicate and to help you with giving supplements to your cats. Goo fur, spelled G-O-O-F-U-R-R. Goo fur is a natural paste that works as a delivery system for your cat's medication and supplements. Goo fur is the proud winner of the 2014 Editor's Choice Awards presented by Cat Fancy. This is what I want you to do. Go to goofur.com. I'll spell it out for you again. G-O-O-F-U-R-R.com. When you dread pill time, then get Goo fur. Thinking of pizza? The best pizza in town. then go to Bear Nose, located in Orange City, Florida, next to Publix. Tell them the radio sent you to receive free garlic cheese sticks. Free delivery for orders to go. Call now and order. Call 386-775-2327. Visit their website, bearnosefl.com. I'll spell it for you. BARNOSFL.com.
Or a pause up for summer safety. With summer upon us, everyone needs to start making a list. A summer book reading list, that is. So I'd now like to bark out loud and introduce you to a great, great friend of mine on cue there, Terry Kay. Terry and I met, of all places, in line at an airport. Who you hear in the background, maybe her sister. I'm not sure if it's Belle herself.
Yeah, that would be Delta, the little sister.
I thought that was her sister. But Terry and I met in line at an airport. I was behind her, and I saw this little black fluff ball with a goatee. And, you know, me being the dog woman that I am, I knew that the dog had a vest on, so I didn't want to, you know, touch and pet right away, but I did ask for an introduction, and as it turned out, Terry and I were actually getting on the same plane, going to the same place, to a Women in the Pet Industries Network conference in Portland, so we became fast friends, and the rest is history. Terry, yes. Terry is a professional writer, actress, and singer. Actually, she's in a great performance right now. I'm looking forward to seeing tomorrow night Bill W. and Dr. Bob. Terry sang backup for Jessica Simpson at the American Music Awards, starred as Claire in the pilot episode of Forbidden Doors, a series based on the popular novels by Bill Myers, and will be in the upcoming thriller We Go On. But Terry is chatting with me today as a translator. Not in German, not French, not Spanish, not even American Sign Language. Terry is translating canine. How are you, Terry?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm trying not to cough today. But I must tell you that black little fluff ball with the white goatee I was talking about, you and I and half the world know as Belle. Yes. How did Belle let you know she had a book in her dying to get out that you were going to translate?
Well, you know, Belle, from the moment I met her when she was a teeny tiny puppy, she has always found ways to communicate very clearly with me. And she knows what she likes, and she's not afraid to let you know what she thinks about things. She's very clear. I remember the first time she ever used a swear word. She were playing fetch and she missed a ball, and the sound that came out of her mouth, I remember looking at my roommate and saying, did she just say what I think she just said? And my roommate was like, oh yeah, that's what she said.
Oh, too funny. They do speak their own language, but we also have to be tuned in to be able to hear it and translate like you do.
We do. I mean, I found myself sort of having conversations with her, and I mean, I really believe that dogs and cats and all animals have souls, and they have a voice, and they want to be heard, and we just have to remember to listen to them. And when we do, then that helps us to remember what's most important in life. Because, I mean, dogs, there's no judgment or pretense or grudges in their world. It's just honesty and love and laughter. And that's what Belle gives me, and you know, she gives that love to everybody.
I know. Well, I'm sorry we're on the Skype line today, and I'm not able to get those kisses in person, but we'll make up for that at some point. But yes, Belle loves to kiss, and Belle also has another kissing is a great attribute of hers. She does have a weakness, though, right? And that comes in the form of chewing up paper.
She does have, yes, a paper habit that I have not been able to break her of. She especially likes the last chapter of a mystery novel. She enjoys that very much. She has what is known as separation anxiety, which is, as I'm sure you know, one of the hardest things to deal with in dogs. And we've been to veterinary behaviorists. That would be Belle. And done all sorts of training and tried various things. And it's just sort of a part of who she is. So that leads her to one of her rules of life, which is, I don't ever want you to leave me. And if she could get me to follow any one of her rules, that would be the one. She does not understand that sometimes you have to leave the house to, you know, earn the money to pay for the dog food. It's just, but one thing that was interesting is an animal communicator once read her, and she said that the reason that Belle gets upset is not that she thinks I'm never coming back, but that she thinks it's, she feels it's her job to take care of me and make sure that I'm okay. And when I go out, she can't do her job, which I don't know if that's true, but honestly, if I would believe that of any dog, I would believe it of Belle.
Well, I certainly like that twist, because we want to, as much as we care for our dogs, we want to make sure they're, you know, we want to think that they're caring about us too, and that they're concerned where we are when we're out of their view. So I like that way of thinking about it. But if Belle never wants you to leave her, then the paper chewing, like we were talking about, then is kind of maybe her way of saying, I don't want you out of my sight. Maybe it's not so much leave me, but I don't want you out of your sight, my sight. So if you go out of my sight, I'm going to have to do something so that you won't go out of my sight anymore. Is that kind of the strategy?
It kind of is. It's one of her ways of training me, because, and I believe, I mean, as much as we train our dogs, they train us a ton more. But yeah, that is her version of negative reinforcement training. You know, if you don't leave, I won't eat your stuff. It's pretty simple. And unfortunately, I'm apparently not bright enough to get that. But
well, so rule number one is I don't want you to leave me. What are the other rules that Belle has?
Oh, she's got lots of rules. But a couple that she talks about in the book, she says, you know, you can lead a dog to the park, but you cannot make her play. And what she means by that, this was kind of inspired by all the times we'd go to the dog park or the dog run, and I'd find her just kind of like lying in the grass, all sprawled out and sniffing things. And I'm going, Belle, you know, it's a dog run. They call it a dog run. You know why? Because you're supposed to run at the dog run. And you could do this at home. But then, you know, she's kind of taught me that you know, when I'm ready, I'm going to bring you that ball. I'm going to chase it like a demon. But sometimes I just need to sniff stuff. And, you know, we come here for me. And if sometimes it's time to chase a ball, and sometimes it's just time to go lick a face. And that's okay.
Well, and that's one of those important things I think we can learn from dogs. It's about being in the moment. It doesn't have to be a complete structure, but really taking time to embrace what we feel like doing at that moment, or that gentle breeze crossing our face, or in her case, maybe that good sniff.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It's noticing everything and just appreciating the beauty of this world that we live in.
They are much more in tune. Now, I so enjoyed reading this book. I thought it was such a fun read. And you have several chapters, Belle has, that you translate about like what I referred to as, you know, what results if us humans break the rules, like if we leave. And there was one entitled, Was I Not Supposed to Do That?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also one entitled, Opposable Thumbs Are Overrated. Do you have a preference of the two that you'd like to chat a little about?
Opposable thumbs are overrated, kind of. That is one of my favorite chapters, and that's because there's a lot of reasons. Partly just because, you know, dogs are clever, and they do things you don't think they can do, and they will find ways to do them. But also because it kind of speaks to the fact that dogs don't understand the concept of can't or shouldn't. And nothing is really impossible in life when you go at it the way that a dog does. When she encounters a chew-proof, solid, durable dog gate, which she destroyed in 4 days. But, you know, she when dogs find ways to open the door, one of the stories I tell in that chapter as an inspirational tale is of my 8th grade music teacher. His dog, he had a friend over and brought her dog over, and they went out and left the dogs in the bedroom with the door closed. And they came back that night, and they found the dogs in the bedroom with the door closed. And the living room couch was in pieces all over the floor.
Oh, my goodness.
And the dogs are in the bedroom going, well, you know, we could have, I mean, we really wanted to, this other dog came in here and did that, and we couldn't get out and stop him because, you know, no opposable thumbs. But, you know, they did. And so I think Belle takes that as an inspirational tale in the sense that nothing is impossible if you put your mind and your teeth and your paw to it.
Exactly. And, but did Belle try to use opposable thumbs and get out of the bathroom or not get out of the bathroom to a little different tale?
Yeah, that's not one of the finer moments, but that's her other story in that chapter that she tells. And that's to say that even though, you know, you should shoot for the stars, just remember that actions have consequences, because she did indeed. I had put her in the bathroom in my dad's apartment because otherwise she would destroy my dad's apartment. I was going to be gone for a short time. And so I put her in there, took anything out she could hurt herself with, made sure she had water and everything she needed. Came back a very short time later. She had locked herself in. She must have been scratching at the door, and she hit the lock, and she had actually locked herself in the bathroom. So, and here we are trying to get her out. I'm calling the fire department. There, you know, can you break down the door? Yeah, we don't do that. It was pretty sad, and I'm freaking out because she's in there. I'm banging on the door. I'm calling her name. Are you okay? Are you okay? And she's not making a sound. Probably because she was tired from, you know, doing what she did. But so the super came, let her out, and she came out and licked my face. She was totally fine. And I think she was in there, having trained me never to do that again. And she was in there hearing me panicking and saying, yeah, you should think about what you did.
The old selective hearing kind of thing, because even a whimper would have given you a glimmer of hope that all was well, but complete silence, huh?
Yeah, complete silence. She was letting me stew in it, but I think if she had to do it again, she probably wouldn't. She, you know, she's like, there are consequences. You can do what you need to do, but just remember that nothing happens in a void. You could lock yourself in the bathroom.
Well, Dog Only Knows the Word of Dog is such a fun book. I hope everybody else reads it. And you have one other thing I'd like to chat about quickly, and it's what Belle calls peopleception.
Peopleception, people's perception. She makes new words when she thinks it's necessary.
There you go.
Peopleception, you know, is very different from dog perception. And people's concepts of good behavior and dogs' concepts of good behavior are different things. And we have to sort of learn from each other how to negotiate that.
Well, and it's even like you mentioned that, you know, they don't necessarily know the value of something until it's destroyed. And I think that's just such a powerful line in there, in that that's something that us humans can take to heart, too, that until something's gone or, you know, no longer able to be fixed, sometimes we don't know that value. So it's important we stay in the moment like our dogs do.
Absolutely. That is so true.
So let's wrap it up with some of her contentifiers. If I recall them, they're smiling, wagging, happy sounds.
Yes. Some contentifiers. How much mud did I bring home from the park? And is the tongue hanging out the side of the mouth? You know you have a content dog when that tongue is hanging out the side of the mouth.
That is just awesome. I hope everybody will read this book. Terry, tell us where we can get a copy.
Pretty much anywhere you get your books. You got Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, and it's available for, it's in paperback, and it's also available for all those lovely Kindles and Nooks and things you got.
Just fabulous. Paws crossed for much success with Dog Only Knows, Terry. And I should really give, you know, Belle the kudos, but since you're on the line, I'm asking you to translate back to her. And good luck with it. And I hope to see all three of you soon.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye for now. And we're going to take a quick break.
Listen up, pet lovers. The best way to keep your pets safe and your car seats clean is by purchasing StageAx. Now you can take your pets with you and keep your car seats clean with a highly durable mat and never worry. Keep your car clean, keep your pets safe, and keep yourself happy with StageAx. This is what I want you to do. Go to StageAx.com. I'll spell it for you. StayJax.com. StayJax.com. Now you can enjoy traveling with your pets and keep them safe and keep your car seats clean.
Being the one who makes a difference is what I am all about. I am the Pet Safety Crusader, and my superpower is helping people to help their pets. So I come to you via the airwaves, sharing the latest 411 on how you can help your pets live longer, happier lives by your side. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing what you're doing, but join me Thursdays at 1 p.m. on BBS Radio for each episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to learn, share, and become that awesome person your pet knows you can be.
I so enjoyed chatting with Terry Kay, so please look for Dog Only Knows on Amazon and all those other locations, and you can learn more about Belle and Terry, too, at www.dogonlyknows.com. This crusader would now like to have another kind of superhero join us. Lindsay Wolko is an internationally recognized pet safety and consumer advocate. She works on behalf of pet owners to ensure the safety of pet products and brings oversight and accountability to the highly unregulated $60 billion pet products industry. Lindsay is best known as the founder of the Center for Pet Safety, a registered 501(c) nonprofit research and consumer advocacy organization dedicated to companion animal and consumer safety. Her passion for pet safety has received global attention, and her accomplishments include creating, overseeing, and developing such facets as carrier and harness restraint system test protocol and rating systems, crashworthiness studies, and the development of the first instrumented and weighted crash test dog. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hey, Denise. How are you?
I'm doing good. As you know, I've been anxious to talk to you anyway, but I just saw this last week in Consumer Reports. There was a little piece about keeping your pets safe in the car, and today is our summer kickoff episode, so I thought travel safety was a perfect segue to bring you on. So tell us about what you do and how we can keep our pets safe.
Well, you know, we look at the pet product industry. Pet owners don't really understand that. You know, you go to the big box retail stores, and most of those products have never had to go through testing. They don't have to meet safety standards. And so that's really where we started, was to say, hey, wait a minute, that's not fair. So we started in the travel section because of my dog, Maggie, years ago. She was injured by a travel harness, and it didn't do what the manufacturer claimed it should, and she got hurt. So long story short, we've been busy. We received sponsorship from Subaru of America. They have been very gracious to help us in these initial startup stages by sponsoring the crash testing, because it's quite expensive. But we have looked at travel harnesses for pets. We have looked at crates and carriers and pet travel seats to get pet owners the information they need to know to protect not only their pets, but also, you know, protect the people in the vehicle. Because if one of those products fails, you know, your passengers and yourself are actually at risk as well.
Well, absolutely. I remember going to a lecture from AAA, and I guess pets are, it goes back and forth, but the second or the third biggest cause of, you know, distractions in a car that can lead to an accident. First, obviously, being texting or being on the phone, and the second often be, you know, eating, whether it's a hot coffee that you spill in your lap or something else. But, you know, pets, even well-behaved, can be a distraction, so they do need to be restrained. And like you said, we go to the store, we see a crate, we see a harness, we think, hey, we're doing our job as a pet parent, but maybe not so much.
Well, I think it's important for pet owners to understand the difference between a distraction prevention tool and a crash protection tool. And that's really what we have highlighted in our work. We've looked at many, many brands. I mean, too many to name at this point, but we welcome pet owners to come to the website and look at all the test evidence and view the videos. But the distraction prevention can help prevent a crash in the first place. So we do want pet owners to use a product to help restrain their pet. But if you are in a crash, that distraction prevention tool may not hold up like you think it will. And that's really the crux of the issue that we're focused on.
Well, exactly, because pets are part of the family, and just like us, we want to keep them safe, and we want to make sure nothing happens during an accident. But even after the accident has happened, if somehow, you know, a pet in whatever or not in any sort of restraint doesn't get injured, very often glass is broken and doors are flung open. And if they're not in some sort of harness, they can jump right out of the car and be hit by another car. So, you know, having that safety there is, you know, keeps them safe in the car, but also prevents them from getting out and getting injured too.
Exactly. That's really important. They had a recent incident down in Florida where that exact scenario played out, where the dog was ejected from the vehicle during a crash. And I have to read the report. I think they did finally find him. Luckily, I don't think he was injured. But yeah, it's terrifying.
Well, it really is. And I've also even heard stories on another vein that sometimes when an animal isn't restrained and the person is hurt, the paramedics have to wait for animal control or other agencies to come and restrain the pet, because the paramedics don't want to get injured by that dog, and that dog, who may be your best friend, may be acting protectively too. So again, if they're not in some sort of safe restraint, you may not be able to get the help you need in a timely fashion.
Exactly. We don't want the first responders to have to deal with anything like that. I'm sure each individual jurisdiction has the rules and regulations on how they handle an aggressive pet in the vehicle, but we do know that they look at the human first, and that is the person, that's the one that they need to focus on to make sure that they get the medical treatment, and unfortunately the pet sometimes is secondary.
Right. So tell me a little about this crash test dog. I mean, is it like the crash test humans we see on videos? And how does it work to, you know, get your research happening?
Well, we needed something to test the pet products. We wanted something as realistic as possible from a, you know, a size and a weight perspective. So we did an enormous amount of analysis as we went through the product sizes. We really based a lot of this on the sizing that's out there in the industry right now, because we wanted to make sure that we provided adequate tools that industry could even eventually use. We actually do provide them the opportunity to license these test dogs so that they can test using the same equipment we do. But this is they can have instrumentation. It's a specially designed dog that will resist several impacts. And we've had great success with them. We actually had an engineer who works with NASA volunteer some time with us. Our initial dog didn't hold up so well, but the ones we currently have, wow, these are amazing. And we have them anywhere from 15 pounds up to 110 pounds now. And they are essential for us to, you know, to do these evaluations.
Wow, that's really terrific. And then the companies that are making the products, like you said, can use them too in their testing and development.
Yes, we do have a licensing program. We let them use them free of charge, and we want to make sure that we test under the identical conditions, you know, that we're going to use to evaluate the product. It's been fairly successful so far. We'd like to see more manufacturers get in the test laboratories, obviously. I've talked to manufacturers around the globe, provided them with guidance and testing information, calculations, that kind of thing. So we are seeing a trend that this is picking up, and we expect to see larger engagement in the future.
Wonderful. So if we're purchasing a product, will it say Center for Pet Safety, or how will we know that it's run by your protocol?
So we have a certification program that we designed with the consumer in mind. So, you know, as you look for certain seals, you know, certifications from other companies, based on our test protocols, if a manufacturer wants to certify their product, we put the product through its paces in the test laboratory in our independent testing. If it does pass that test protocol, it is awarded a seal to use in marketing and on product packaging. So you can now look, you know, with the first harness to be certified by Center for Pet Safety is the Sleepy Pod Click It Sport. So if you look at the packaging, you will see that you'll see the Center for Pet Safety logo on that package. Our studies are a little different because we're doing initial data collection. It's more like the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety's top safety pick, we use the Center for Pet Safety's Top Performer. And you can come to our website and find that information on the brands that were named top performers in their class. And you can find our logo aligned with that video.
Such important stuff to know, because as pet parents, you know, we buy a product and we hope it's going to do the job, and it just may not, you know, do as promised. Are there other areas besides the travel industry that you're working with to test products for our pets?
Yes. So we have had many, many, many reports come in. We do accept reports from pet owners about product issues they've had. We do want to look at collars, leashes, and walking harnesses. We have had several very tragic reports from that. We have many reports on food. We have reports on toys. So pretty much any pet product area is open for scrutiny. It's just a matter of finding the funding that we need to do and developing the evaluation process behind it to do the study so that we can establish that standard.
Well, it sounds like you have a full docket of, you know, checking into items to help us keep our pets safe. And, you know, part of that is, you know, the product has to be, you know, appropriate, but we have to remember how to appropriately put on harnesses and do our part to make sure they're fitting properly as well.
That's correct. Yeah. So you don't want an ill-fitting harness. And you have to rely on the manufacturer's guidance for that. We don't tell you how to fit a harness. The manufacturer really is accountable for providing that information, but we guide manufacturers in many cases that we've talked to them about how their product fits. So behind the scenes, you know, we're working for pet owners all the time, always.
Exactly. And I mean, that's part of our pet responsibility as pet parents to seek out the appropriate products and then to use them correctly. Lindsay, tell us where we can learn more about the Center for Pet Safety.
You can go to centerforpetsafety.org. We have published all of our test evidence. We have summary reports that you can read, understand the products that you're looking at and that you want to purchase. Right now, we have been focused in the travel section primarily because that's a big offender. Pet owners can be hurt by a projectile dog, and it happens more often than pet owners know. So
centerforpetsafety.org. Centerforpetsafety.org. And like she said, you know, I'm mentioning travel today because it's the kickoff to summer, but we travel with our pets 24/7, and it doesn't have to be a big trip. It can just be that trip around the corner to the park or to the veterinarian. So four paws up for pet safety and for Lindsay Wolko. Let's take a quick break.
Hey pet lovers, you have to try this. Organic pet shampoo and organic pet skin spray made by the Green Hippies. You cannot get better than this. They are made with organic vegetables. Wow, this is what you must do. Go to thegreenhippies.com. I'll spell it for you. Thegreenhippies.com. Thegreenhippies.com. Or call right now, 386-747-5620. Hey, pet lovers, this is a must for you. Only one-of-a-kind dog food. There is nothing like this dog food blend anywhere else. Also, the best in the industry, joint support supplement. And you have to try this for your dog. Introducing the dental spray called Spray Me. Effectively breaks down tartar and leaves your dog's breath smelling great. You have to check out all their products. So go now to www.truedog.com. I'll spell it out for you. That is TRUDOG.com. Visit True Dog and use the promo code PAWS15. For 15% off.
Today we got to hear from Deborah Wolf of Smart Animal Talk Radio, another great radio show you should tune into. And my friend Terry Kay shared insights in what to into what our dogs want us to know. But most recently, we were talking with the Center for Pet Safety's Lindsay Walco, urging us to travel safely with our pets. I'm actually looking really forward to meeting Lindsay face-to-face during my Southern U.S. Pet Safety Tour this fall when I roll into her neck of the woods. And maybe I can get a sneak peek at how some of this testing works. So please do remember to check out my website to see if we can also do a meet and greet during my fall Southern U.S. Pet Safety Tour. I just might be coming to a city near you. Remember, I've got events planned right now in Phoenix, in Houston, in New Orleans, in Mobile, Alabama, Panama City, Florida, Orlando, Florida. It looks like we're adding Jupiter, Florida to the mix. Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Winchester, Virginia, Baltimore, Maryland, La Plata, Maryland, down through Tennessee and into Atlanta, maybe Perry, Georgia, Camden, Arkansas. We're going to be busy helping people help their pets, learning pet first aid and CPR, pet disaster preparedness, like we know in the news, it's such an important thing to be prepared for. And also teaching children some important respect and care tips for our animal friends. I'm still seeking champions to make this 10,000-mile journey a reality, so email petsafetycrusader@gmail.com for details. Thank you guys just so doggone much for allowing me to help you help your pet today. My pack and I have paws and fingers crossed that you and yours will stay safe, healthy, and happy, and I personally challenge you to do your best to be a superhero in the life of an animal. Looking forward to having you hear me and my guests next week. This is the Pet Safety Crusader signing off and wishing you a bow-wow wonderful day. She went to go for a ride in the car. Doesn't matter how.